time now for the Tuesday Talk Show on KHAO Radio. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate your ears today. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. Then the phone number, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thoughts that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. And welcoming today, this is the third Tuesday of the month, and that means we have county staff in. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a homeowner, a landowner, and here in Josephine County, and last week you received a nice letter from the county saying you owe this much. This is the guy who sent them out, treasurer and tax collector, Dustin Calvo. Dustin, welcome to the microphones at KAJO Radio. Does that make you a good guy or a bad guy? Okay. Sorry, I didn't have your mic on. Why don't I? All right, now talk to me.
Depends on who you ask, I guess.
All right, I got operator error. So this must be a very busy time for your office.
It is.
So what goes into getting all of this tax information into the mail right now?
So it actually really starts with the assessor's office. They're the ones that get the tax rolls ready for us to be able to get that all in the system and so that we can send out the statements. The tax rolls are usually certified around the beginning of October. And then we start processing on our end. We make sure that all the lenders are put in there so that the lenders get their bills so they can pay it. Those people who have lenders that pay, getting all the statements prepared and printed and ready to go, and we send it off to a printer who does the mailing for us. I think we had around 100,000, maybe less than that, statements go out between the lenders and the owners, and so they do all that. And so it's a lot of information that we got to get put in real quick ordered, because we got to make sure that these statements are out so that people can pay before the 15th to get that 3% discount.
All right. 100. That what's the postal bill on that?
I haven't gotten it yet.
My goodness. All right. And that bill really does a lot of things for the people out there. It really shows where all of their tax money is going, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it does break it down so that it shows what their tax is. It's going to show where those taxes, which districts are getting that money, how much they're getting from that tax. For folks who are part of the law enforcement district, it'll show that. Not everybody's a part of that, because if you're in the city, you don't have the sheriff's law enforcement district. And then for those folks that are, say, in the library district, some people have that, some people don't. So it'll show you which districts you're in and what you're paying towards each district.
All right. This time of year, do you get a lot of phone calls asking, say, why am I being charged this? Or if I see something new on it, like the sheriff's district, you get a lot of calls for it?
Oh, yeah. We get phone calls. We field them all day. I have myself and three staff, and we're fielding phone calls and walk-ins all day long. A lot of questions of, why am I paying this amount? Some of those have to go to assessor, because with the assessed value, that's all done by the assessor. But a lot of the, basic questions we can answer, and then just a lot of how do I pay, what do I pay, where do I pay it?
Okay. I just looked online real briefly, and you're right now in the process of collecting, see if I get this right, over $100 million?
It's about that, yeah.
Just over $100 million is what it said.
Yeah, so it'll go up. It'll change every year, because taxes usually go up about 3% every year, so it could be a little bit more than that right now. I didn't actually pull the totals, but that sounds about right.
All right. Out of that $100 million, how much of it goes to the county? A small portion.
Yeah, so it's all I don't have the actual the breakdown here, but it's all done by a breakdown. We get all the tax rates in, and then we break it down. Most of it does go to the districts. The county does get to keep some of that, but it's also brought in for, things like the jail and for animal control, the law enforcement district.
Schools.
The schools are actually paid out separate, so they're not actually considered a part of the county when it comes to the taxes. They get their taxes separately.
But you still collect it.
But we still collect it, yep. So when we get all this money in, then what we do is during November, we have to do it on the weekly, but every year or every month, we will then do what's called tax turnover. And we take all the information that we have. We take all the interest that we've accrued on that money that we then have to divvy that out to all the districts as well, because they all allow us to invest that money for them. And then we send all that money out. So on the November, it's every week they're getting paychecks because of how much money we're taking in. But the rest of the year, it's once a month, and we send it all out to the districts, and they get their funding that way.
All right. Is this the busiest time of year for you?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, everybody wants to get that 3% discount before November 15th. Mortgage companies are sending the whole payments because they want to make sure that they're not paying more than they have to. But yeah, this is definitely our peak season. It'll be that way until probably about November 17th is actually the cutoff this year, because the 15th falls on Saturday. So we'll probably see a slowdown come November 20th, more towards Thanksgiving, and people start to slow down on those major payments, and then we'll start to see more of the trimester payments come in.
I'm one of those guys who usually shows up with a check in hand on the 15th. and I wait in line to get in because I want to hold on to that money just as long as I possibly can.
Oh, but, yeah.
And it, is that really the what seems to be happening there?
Yeah, we have a lot of people who like to pay in person. So with check or cash, there's no fee. With debit cards, credit cards, and then online checks, there are a fee. So a lot of people want to avoid those fees. With the debit card and the checks online, they're pretty minimal. With the credit card, it can be pretty substantial depending on your tax bill, because it's a 2.49% on top of whatever you're paying. Yeah, we see a lot of people that come in that want to bring in their check, that want to bring us cash. And it's just so they can get that receipt right then, and they have that proof that it's been paid.
That was my next question. How many show up with cash in hand?
Not a whole lot, but we do get quite a few with cash. I would say it's probably maybe 30% of people bring in cash. Most of them are bringing in checks or cashier's checks, or they've gone through their bank to get some kind of, you know, money order or something like that.
Okay, so hard cash on hand. I'm assuming that you have security there.
We do have security at the courthouse. We do have internal controls. Obviously, we don't want to get into too much detail, but yeah.
I won't ask any more detail.
And then, you know, I'm 6'5", so that sometimes is helpful.
As tax collector, you do oppose an imposing image. You are an imposing figure coming through the door. There's no question about that. So, Will, if I have a question about the taxes, mm-hmm. and or I want to debate it, or I want to say that this isn't correct, do I call you? What are the steps there?
So really it depends. So if you're saying that the value of your home wasn't assessed right, or the value is, you know, you're not saying it wasn't appraised, we do more assessments. So, we would send you over to the assessor's office, because that's really who does all that. We do more of the collecting. We don't set the taxes. That's all done by the tax assessor's office. We can obviously answer questions. You know, there are some, if you don't pay by the 15th of each month, interest does accrue on there at 1.333% per month, a total of 16 per annual. And so we do have people that will call in and ask for that to be waived because of something that happened. Unfortunately, Oregon State is very strict on what can be waived, and it is a very small issue that would cause it to be waived. But unless it's the interest, it's really all through the assessor's office, because they're the ones that are setting the value of the home and assessing that.
So you really have very little discretion on what you can do there. You're basically an enforcer.
Yeah, we are very – so tax collection in the state of Oregon, especially property taxes, is very statutorily driven, and the state is very specific on what we can and can't do in those situations and when things are due. You know, I know that we last in February – because of the transition of the treasurers, we didn't have the reminders go out. And so there was a lot of folks that were calling in about that and about the interest that was charged. And unfortunately, our reminders that go out in January and April are courtesy reminders. The state doesn't require those. And so we can't, if somebody misses a payment for that, or they miss the deadline for the trimester, there's not a whole lot we can do with the interest. We can't waive it at all. The state won't allow it. because at the end of the day, with the state, the way the state of the Oregon is they say that if someone owns property, it's their responsibility to know when their taxes are due and to know, you know, that they owe taxes. And so we obviously know that people have come to rely on those reminders. And so we try to make sure those are sent out.
And that's not required by the state. That's courtesy of the county.
Correct. And so, but we also know that people kind of have relied on those for many, many years. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it's just, we know that people should, they need to know when that's due, but, you know, we all get busy. So, and even though it's something that's, you know, not required, we want to make sure that we're doing that. And then we also are, you know, even if we can't do anything, you know, to reverse interest or to make any kind of changes to it, you know, we understand that it's frustrating. We understand that, you know, things can be a pain in the butt. You know, we're right there with you. I mean, we're in there with you and, you know,
those reminders I would expect would also help, help make, cash flow, easier and what you're anticipating so that the money does arrive on time. Yes. So that you don't come up short on time.
Yeah. When we missed the February ones this year and then we were able to send out the May ones, we did see a very large upswing in collections
really?
Of the taxes. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people are relying on those. We're, you know, very diligent. You know, at this point, we know how to do that. That first one was just a transition. I mean, it was January and those things had to go out in January. And I mean, the new treasurer that was elected at that time just didn't have time to get it together and figured out. And it, you know, there's so much to learn in the treasury and the tax collection part of it that it can be very overwhelming.
I can imagine. We're talking about big numbers here today. We've got Dustin Calvo, the county treasurer and tax collector in studio, and we're going to continue right after this word.
The Car Ride.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, the Josephine County treasurer and tax collector. And if you all got a letter last week, this is the gentleman who sent them out. We appreciate your courage in showing up here today. all joking aside, it must be a tremendous responsibility to take care of this. How did you come into this position? And what's the good thing about it? And what's the bad thing about it?
So I came into this position. So I was hired on as the chief deputy in March, chief deputy treasurer and tax collector. Hit the ground running. It was definitely a trial by fire. There was a lot to learn and not a lot of training available at that time. So started just, you know, the main part of the chief deputy is to make sure. So as treasurer, we're the bank of the county. So we're taking all the information that comes in from our banking partners and we're putting that into our accounting system so that the departments have their money and know what they can spend and what their budgets are and that they're aligning with that. So a lot of the chief deputy's position is to make sure that those transactions are in there and they're coded correctly to the right departments. So I learned that very quickly. It was a lot of information to parse through. Was working through that. And then in June, as many people know, the treasurer that had been elected resigned, was kind of unexpected. And so we hit the ground running. You know, I have to definitely give credit where credit is due. Our frontline staff, Debbie and Zoe, are absolutely amazing. Without them, that office would not be running. There was a lot of change and a lot of, you know, big learning curve for the new treasurer and then for myself, and they kept everything going. So, you know, they definitely need to get commended for that because they were the ones that kind of kept things running while we were learning what we needed to do.
Right. Debbie and Zoe, we thank you.
When he resigned, I, you know, became the treasurer temporarily because that's the part of what the chief deputy does. The chief deputy is a sworn position in the county. And so then I was appointed in July by the Board of Commissioners. And then I was able to bring on my chief deputy, Kelly, who also is amazing. She was the deputy. So prior to me coming on as chief deputy, they had just a deputy position, which wasn't a supervisory position. They just were doing mostly of the data entry of the bank accounts. So I brought her back as the chief deputy. She had some time as a chief deputy assessor, which gave her a lot of great knowledge for both sides of things. So she's been instrumental in helping to make sure that things are running smoothly. She does a lot of the day-to-day stuff so that I can focus on the bigger stuff. The good part is I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy working for the people of the county. I enjoy being somebody that's, you know, there to serve them. I would say probably the bad part is, I don't know.
yet to be determined.
Yet to be determined.
Okay. All right. Part of that bad part might be, as tax collector, in lieu of delinquent taxes, mm-hmm. sometimes you have to take property away. Or right. How does that work? Or is that something that you've gone through yet?
So we have. So we the delinquent notices go out at the after the May 15th trimester payments due. We'll send out those delinquent notices. They went out a little bit late this year. But statute allows for them to go out. They just can't go out before May 16th. So we got those delinquent notices out. And then if someone is on their fourth year of being past due, so currently it was tax year 2021. If you owed money in tax year 2021, we had to start the foreclosure process. And so what the foreclosure process does is we start the process by sending out notices, letting people know that they're in process of foreclosure. They have the option of just taking care of that last, the most past due year to get them out of foreclosure. You know, we see quite a bit of people come in to kind of get that cleared up. And then, excuse me, we do, the next step is to actually go ahead and publish in the newspaper. So we do have to publish by state law. We have to publish it in the newspaper. And we start the process of asking the courts for judgment. And then once we get the judgment, so after once it's been posted in the newspaper for 30 days, we can actually get the judgment. And once we get the judgment, folks still have 2 years to redeem that property and not have it taken, deeded to the county. At that point, they have to pay everything that's past due. So it's a little bit more money to do that. But so we're in the middle of that right now. We just published the beginning of October. October 3rd was when we published. We're currently still in that 30-day period, so we'll start getting towards the judgment here shortly, and then letting people know that they have a redemption period. And then we do send out notices that, you know, after 1 year that the redemption period is going to end in a year. There's a lot of opportunity for people to, you know, try to get that cleared up. We don't just, you know, you didn't pay your taxes, we're coming out to take your property and so be it. So, you know, the state's been, and that's all state driven as well. So statutorily driven. So it does give people the opportunity to do that. So yeah, it's not a great part of the job. No one wants to take somebody else's property. But you know, at the end of the day, it's a part of the job that has to be done.
I was aware that it was not a quick situation, mm-hmm. But see if I got this right. From what I just heard, the first time you sent out is when they're past due for 4 years,
correct?
And then another 2 years after that,
yep.
At least 6 years without paying your property tax before any really hard situations come down on you. Is that a fair?
Yeah. So we deed the property after the redemption period's ended. excuse me, with the state law. So if we do have to deed it and then we auction it off, any surplus is due to the previous property owner. So if we sell it for more than what we need for taxes, the surplus is then, and that was just recently updated with the house bills. We really try, and there's opportunities. There are housing counselors. The new house bill that just came out, House Bill 2809, actually changed the wording that we have to send out in the foreclosures, that actually lists ways that you can potentially get help and to figure out how to take care of that and make sure that you don't lose your house.
So all the information is there to the homeowner.
Yes.
No question about it. Ongoing process. And I know it doesn't happen very often. I just pulled up from your website, says in 2024, three properties were deeded to the county due to foreclosure. So three in 1 year. And let's see. Is that an accurate number? Is that an average number? Do you know in your short term there? Is that something you deal with on an ongoing basis? is there that much of it out there?
This year we did have, I know that when we sent out our notices, our initial notices, there were about 200 that we sent out. I think that when we sent out our secondary notices, we had dropped to about 170. So we had quite a few people come in and take care of that last year. I don't know the number that we've gotten to yet for actual judgment. And three sounds about right. I mean, I don't know, because that would have been when the previous treasurer, Eve Arce, was there. And she kept very accurate records. So I would imagine that that three is very accurate. I'm hoping that we don't have many more than that when we have to do it in 2 years from now. Right now, with the house bills that were in effect, everything is paused until January for any kind of deeding to the county. And I don't know that I have any that need to be deeded at this time, but I'm working with our property management, and we would make sure that that's all taken care of, ready to go in January if that's the case.
So in the event of a foreclosure, that really is not a funding stream for the county at all, because anything over the assessed value, as I understand from what you said, goes back to the owner.
Yeah, so anything that's over what the – so when you
– Does that include your payment for your efforts?
Yeah, so anytime that we have to publish, there's a – 5% comes to mind. I can't remember the exact number because I – need it right now, so of course I can't remember it.
How many numbers?
5% publishing fee. Then when we do the judgment, it's an additional $50 fee. So we do that plus any back due taxes and interest that's accrued. That is what we collect, and that anything over that then that is collected at after auction would then be sent back to the owner, and they have there's notification to let them know that they have to make an application for that, and there's a bunch of stuff that just came into effect with the new house bill. So
with so few happening out there, do you have any information on how often you're giving money back to a delinquent taxpayer?
No, because that'll all changed just recently with that new house bill 2809. So there's been some new rules and things. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of that information yet. I don't know from the past. I haven't looked back. Eventually we'll get to a point where I can start going back and looking at things and getting the numbers from the past. So
you're certainly governed by a lot that the state legislature does. Are you in contact with them? Is there a pipeline that direct to you from the legislature, or is that something you just have to keep up with on your own?
So I actually belong to two organizations. One is the Oregon State Assessor and Tax Collector Association, and the other one is the Oregon Association of County Treasurers and Financial Officers. So both of those obviously have separate legislative arms because they're two different animals, so to speak. So they do give us updates, and they do let us know what's coming down and what's really happening with the legislature. So I'm grateful that we have those, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on up there that we just wouldn't have time as tax collectors and treasurers to keep up on our own.
Do they do some lobbying?
I know that the Osaka, which is the assessors and tax collector, we do have a lobbyist. I'm not exactly sure if the Treasurers Association does. I would assume that we have some kind of lobbying. I don't know for sure with that
As members of the association, do you have an annual meeting, or do you have input?
Yeah, so with the the assessors and tax collectors, we have two conferences, one in summer and one in winter. We have multiple committees, so I'm on that one. I'm actually on. We're developing our website And also on the education committee, so that part of that is so that when new tax collectors come in, they have some resources that they can get. And, you know, they've been, the both associations have been great at getting, being able to get information. And then also the treasurer, we just had our annual conference in September. I'm actually was elected to the secretary treasurer of that association. So
on top of everything else,
you've correct.
Got in your spare time. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We thank you for your ears, and we hope that those ears stay right here. While we take a little pause, we'll be back with more of the Tuesday Talk Show following news at the top of the hour.
It all comes down.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And you can ask your questions of our guest today from the Josephine County Treasurer's Office, the Treasurer and Tax Collector for Grants Pass. The very gentleman who sent out those nice letters to you last week is right here on the hot seat if you have a question for him. That's Dustin Calvo. Thank you very much for having the courage to show up here today. So we know that this is a very busy time of year for you, and at this time, I imagine you're getting a lot of questions. We talked about some of that before. What are the major questions you're getting right now? Is it, who do I talk to, and you send them to the assessor's office, or what are you really dealing with on a daily basis right now?
Right now, so statements just came out last week, so we're dealing with a lot. I'd say there's some that are coming in that are, you know, I don't think that I'm – my property was assessed to the right value, so we send those down to the assessor. We're getting a lot of people that have mortgages that also get the statement because we send a statement to them as well. And so they're calling to confirm that the mortgage company is going to pay. So we get a lot of that right now. We get a lot of just, how much is my tax bill? Where do I send it to? How do I make a phone payment? A lot of that stuff. It's just a lot of the run-of-mill, you know, trying to figure out where to go, what to pay, who to talk to if they have any questions. And it's just, it's kind of a mixed bag right now, but those three would probably be the biggest ones that we're seeing right now.
What about sticker shock?
We do get some sticker shock. Taxes usually go up around 3%. It's not exact 3%. So it's not a big increase. I think that the most times that I see people who have that kind of sticker shock is when they start to go back and look at what their taxes were before and seeing it grow every year. You know, somebody could have started it in the, you know, hundreds, and now they're in the thousands, you know, of dollars. So they kind of go, well, why is this increasing, and how does this value affect?
That's for
that?
Long-time homeowners, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but for the most part, I think most of the increases are pretty much people have just – they see that it's an increase of, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars depending on what your taxes are. And that's not as big of a sticker shock as, you know, what we could see.
Okay. Now, we've bounced around that number. It's always around 3%. Mm-hmm. What is it really geared to?
That's actually a really great question. That's an assessor question. So they're going to look at the value of the home as they assess it, and then that's what it's going to be determined on. I don't know the exact calculations of how they figure that out, because that is a very much an assessor function. We don't get a lot of into that with the tax collection. They're the ones that kind of set that and determine what percentage it is, and they have their
calculations. And it's set by statute too, isn't it?
Yes, the tax cap is set by statute, yeah.
All right, so it can't go above a certain amount.
Right, right.
Okay. So. All right, folks, so shucks, you can't change it. You have to live with it or figure out a way to pay it. And you said there are lots of different ways to do that.
Right.
What's the easiest way for your shop to deal with that?
We can take those payments as walk-ins, cash or check. There's no fee. If it's a credit or debit card, there is a fee for that. Online is a great way to pay if you don't want to wait in line. There again, credit, debit, and check online are going to have a small fee. Credit's going to have a much heftier fee than the debit or the check. The other way is if you want to pay with a check and you don't want to wait in line, you don't need a receipt right away, or you don't need a receipt, there's a Dropbox right out front of our office on C Street. It's a little hidden. When they redid the windows there, the Dropbox is now recessed. So a lot of folks will want to pull on the handle that's right there, and that's not the Dropbox. The Dropbox is right next to...
You can't pull on the handle anymore.
No. The Dropbox is a little slot right underneath the ledge of the window that unless you kind of bend down, you can't see it. We have an arrow pointing at it, but it's kind of hidden away. So that's where you can drop it. You can drop those payments any day of the week. And then if you want to mail them in, you can mail in check, money order, cashier's check. And we actually go by the postmark date. So even if you mail it on the 17th, which is November 17th, and you go into the post office and get it postmarked, we take it based off of that date, not when we receive it. Just as a big safety or point of interest for folks, if you are going to pay in the Dropbox, it's only check. Do not drop cash in the Dropbox.
Okay. I just had a visual of people opening the Dropbox and saying, whoopee, I put the mother load.
Now, my staff, it would get posted, but it's just better not to. And a lot of some people don't put in their slips with it. So we have this cash we have to keep in the safe because we don't know where it belongs.
Okay.
So when it's a Dropbox or mail, it's always send a check, cashier check or money order for your own safety.
Do you get that very often where you get cash with no receipt or is that
it doesn't happen often, but it happens enough that we have to make sure that we're letting people know not to drop cash in the cash box or the Dropbox.
Okay. Or at least make sure they know where it's coming
from,
folks. So you get credit for it. Golly.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just can't imagine that happening in this day and age with all of the ways to take advantage of paying securely.
Yeah. Yeah. We do see, like I said, we do see cash still. We don't see usually cash payments for whole amounts. Mostly we see those for the trimester payments. But we do get those. And, we can take cash. We can take it in the office, no problem. Checks are definitely going to be your way to go if you're going to drop it or mail it. And even coming in, it's easier because you can do the exact amount. You don't have to worry about getting change, which we have changed, but less time to get change.
All right. What do people really need to know about your office right now? And we've covered a lot of it here today, and I've learned a lot about what goes on behind the scenes there and some of the things that you have to do. What do people really need to know about the treasurer's office and tax collecting and those things that really they might not come to mind?
We are the bank of the county. We are the ones that are taking in not only just the transactions from customers when they're doing their tax collections. We're taking in transactions from the departments when they're collecting money from people. We are what the bank would be for anybody else out there in public. And we take that very seriously, myself and the staff there. And we really. Really take it to heart that we are the bank of the county and the citizens of this county have entrusted us with that. We take that very seriously and we really take that to heart that we are working for the people of the county and we want to make sure that we're doing everything correctly. We may not know the answer right away if you call and ask us a question, but we know where to look and we know the resources to reach out to find that. And we're going to make sure that we're doing it correctly and we're doing it the way that it needs to be done so that not only the county is protected, but also the citizens are protected and they know that their services are going to continue and that there's not something going on with their money.
What about oversight? Now, you're dealing with, on an annual basis, over $100 million. And that just that number confounds me. because of my checkbook, I'm dealing with, I may misplace a penny or so every now and then. Do you ever misplace a penny or so now and then? And how does that happen? Or stop gets?
There will be when we do our turnover, because of the percentages being they're not just two digit percentages. They are, I think they go out about 12 digits.
Wow.
So there might be a rounding error, and so we'll have to go in and figure out where that penny goes or, make sure that we give it to the right person based off of, sometimes it's having to go into that 12th digit and say this 12th digit is a 5 and this 12th digit is a 4, so we're going to give it to that the 5 instead of the 4. So sometimes it can be tedious for us.
So you've got to find that penny.
We do
a fraction of the penny.
Right. We really do try to find it. You know, there are some times where, you know, we're transferring, you know, say $1 million in turnover, and we've tried everything we can to find that penny. That's when it becomes that penny is, you know, are we going to continue to spend hours trying to find this penny and you know, which is an inefficient use of time for our folks. You know, and it's not often that we find that we're out a penny or that we're off, you know, really we, if it's a few cents, we're, you know, we're trying to find it. If it's in the, you know, dollar above there, we're looking for it somewhere. But yeah, we really try to make sure that we're accounting for every single penny that comes in and out of this county. You know, and trying to figure out the rounding errors that, you know, Excel is a great program, but when it comes down to rounding, it's not perfect. So
12 digits.
12 digits.
Wow.
All the way out to 12 digits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, dealing with the various agencies that you have to deal mm-hmm. with, and Josephine County Law Enforcement District has levied $5.7 million over that.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff's levy was $9.2 million plus. Do you ever get feedback from those agencies saying that I should have had X number of dollars and I only got – I missed a dollar or two? Or are they just reliant on you?
No, they all – so we have to send out a report to them every month when we send their turnover over to them, when they send their tax money. So in the case of, say, like the law enforcement district or the districts that are actually county managed, excuse me, that's all through our finance department. So our finance department is kind of they're the ones that are making sure the money is going out and that the money that they're supposed to be collecting is coming in. So they have kind of an oversight function in that part of it. But the rest of our county, the rest of our districts, I mean, as long as I've been doing it, which has only been for 7 months now, we haven't had any, and they get the report and they do check it. It goes to their county departments. And so they really are checking to make sure that everything's correct. And I don't think we've had one time when we've had anybody come back and say, this is the wrong amount.
Oh, okay. Essentially, you're all working together, too, for the same goal.
Yep.
I would assume. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we have the Josephine County Treasurer in studio today. So, if you have a question or comment, you want to ask about that bill you got last week, it's 541-472-1270, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Jedediah and
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us for Tuesday Talk Show today. I've been learning a lot because I'm not a math guy. You know, 2 + 2 is about my extent. But we've got the Josephine County Treasurer in house today, and we've covered an awful lot of topics here. And I know we're just really brushing the surface of what you do. So why don't you tell me exactly what people need to take away from today's program? We've got about 7 minutes left here. What people need to know about your office and the best way to take advantage of your expertise and best way to take care of themselves in terms of how they pay their taxes.
Well, I mean, the biggest takeaway here is that, you know, making sure that as a homeowner that you know when your taxes are due, that you do take a look at the statement, make sure, you know, and if you do have questions, do call because – you know, we're all human and we have computer systems that we're using that, you know, they're not infallible. I mean, we wish they were, but, you know, there's always a potential. So if you have a question, call. If you have a concern, call us. If we're not the people to answer that question, we probably know who is and we'll get you over to that person or that department.
Do you have a phone number right off the top of your head?
Yeah. So the tax collection is 541-474-5175.
Okay. We'll probably ask you that a couple more
times
because it's radio. We need it about three times.
Oh, yeah.
But continue.
You know, and just making sure that you're making your payments on time. And, you know, we don't like charging people interest. It's not something that we are set out to do to try to charge people interest. You know, that really just falls on, you know, if you pay your trimester payments, you won't get interest. If you pay it in full, you get that 3% discount. You know, and if for some reason you can't make the full trimester payment, just make what you can each month. I mean, we're not going to, if you go, we've talked about foreclosures. We got 4 years before we're even going into foreclosure. So make what payments you can try to stay ahead of it as best you can, because we don't want to see people losing their homes. We don't want to have to go down that road of having to send them these letters to foreclosure and then charging the fees. You know, it's really knowing your rights as a homeowner, knowing your responsibilities as a homeowner, and then reaching out to us if you have questions. We have a lot of information through our website that you can go on to find your own bills. You can find, you know, your past receipts if you need those. A lot of times during April and this time of year, we get questions about how much people paid because they're trying to write it off on their income taxes. And so you can find all that online, josephinecounty.gov. You can make your payments online. And, you know, if phone or online aren't your way to go, come in and talk to us. I have some amazing folks in that department. Again, Debbie and Zoe are our frontline. They are amazing. They've been there for years. They know what they're talking about. They know how to do their jobs. And, you know, if I have a great Chief Deputy Kelly who knows what she's doing, she knows what she's looking at. You know, and we're not afraid to ask questions. We're, you know, and I'm more than happy to talk to people individually. If they, you know, have a question and they want to talk directly to me, that's fine. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. So really we're here to help and we're here to, you know, work. I know that tax collection is kind of a nasty word to people, or nasty phrase, but you know, at the end of the day, we understand we have homeowners that work in the county, or that work in our office. You know, I'm in the trying to get people to pay their taxes, and we just want to be able to help them with what we can do.
So the real key is to communicate.
Yep.
Just communicate.
Yep.
Okay. Now we've talked about tax collection and we've talked about foreclosure. In the meantime, other duties that may fall in there, that distribution of the funds.
So we do distribute the money that we collect in taxes. That's called our tax turnover, which is talked about. A part of my function as treasurer is to invest the funds of the county. So there's a lot of looking into what we have, you know, a few brokerages that we use, and really looking at, you know, what's going to be the best for the county. We have an investment policy that we have to follow within guidelines. And that's all overseen by the Treasury, state Treasury. So if there's any changes to that, there's a board that has to actually read that and say that change is okay, and that's at the state level. So really trying to make money for the county and for the districts, so that they, you know, what we're getting in tax money isn't just what's coming in. We're getting more money from investments. And then just, you know, the oversight of the day-to-day banking transactions and being the bank of the county is really what we do.
One question, one area that we really haven't delved into is, and you just mentioned it right there, is investments and going through brokerage houses to get at that money that's just sitting there is earning some interest. Do you have a number of how much we're really making on that money right now, or a percentage, or?
So most of our investments currently are sitting at 4% return or above. We haven't had a lot of maturities yet, so that's good because that means it's sitting there accruing money. We do get what are called coupons, depending on the investment. We'll get coupons. We just got one. We actually did have one that just matured. If I remember correct, it was a maturity of, we had put in $1 million. And I think we put $1.5 million, I think, was what we actually invested. And with that maturity, we had $18,000 that came back with just that maturity. That's not on counting the coupons that we get. So, and we did have just a coupon not too long ago come in for $41,000 on one of our investments. So it is a significant amount of money that we are getting from these investments. You know, and really right now trying to lock in the higher rates before the rate cuts kind of take effect. So we've been doing that and really watching that and working with the brokerages to determine where, you know, what's looking good and what is going to get us the most money and have the, you know, the lowest risk. Cause we're restricted on what we can invest in. You know, we're not talking stocks and bond, you know, stocks that are just,
you're not out there playing the market.
No. Most of our stuff are, all of our stuff right now is in, agency bonds or agencies, that are backed by the federal government. So we're talking about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, those kind of things.
All right, Dustin, we're really down to the wire here. Once again, hit me with that phone number one more time.
So it's 541-474-5175.
And one more time.
541-474-5175.
That's the three times. Thank you very much. Now, one more question for you. You were appointed to this position, and that was in the news, so congratulations on that. Now, my last question today is, now would you run for the office again?
So that's a very good question. I actually have already filed my candidacy, so I will be running again next year. So that is already in the works.
All right, and for anybody running against him, you get equal time. All right, Dustin, we want to thank you very much for your time today. And to all of you, you've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. It's Alex Bauer the rest of the way right up through the noon hour today.
Evergreen Federal Bank is proud.